Good afternoon. Hi. Hello. So there's people I recognize. Oh no, you're going to shout out and stuff. Hey, don't forget, give me lots of warnings. Cool. I just don't want to disappoint anybody from the outset. There's been a swap that's occurred. So I'm Matt Jones for Jaguar Land Rover, talking about Tizen for in-vehicle infotainment. I am not Keiko. I don't work for Brilliant Service, and I know very little about power saving on mobile. So if you're really hoping for me to talk for 40 minutes on power saving on mobile, I am going to need some audience participation. But if you want me to talk on IVI, it's going to be a lot easier, I tell you. We're okay with the IVI? Yay. Yeah? Fantastic. Right. My name's Matt Jones. I look after future infotainment at Jaguar Land Rover, the car company in the UK. We also got a big presence in India, owned by Tata Motors, and we're working a lot in the United States. Now, as well as this, I hold a position within Genevi, the Open Source Linux Alliance, and I'm the vice president there, which means nothing. They don't pay me any money, but it's kind of cool that I can talk not only on behalf of Jaguar Land Rover, but on behalf of 170 members of the IVI community, all relating to Linux distributions and how we can, together, build a system that is truly open. Does that make sense? Now, we're going to do questions at the end, because otherwise... I've got to fly to Japan straight after this as well to go and give the same talk. Now, we sell cars, and some of you might have seen the keynote this morning. We sell a lot of cars across 174 markets. And that's a really interesting challenge. If you think about how hard it is to take a mobile phone and take that to Canada or Mexico and not pay a fortune for data... If you think about trying to negotiate with 174 telecoms operators to understand how we can actually supply data to the cars in the future, and then if you think about all of those different car companies all trying to achieve the same thing, then multiply that by the number of proprietary systems you have in cars today. That's an interesting challenge. Now, this morning I asked who drives a car, and everybody put their hand up, and I'm guessing we've got a similar situation here. This is another interesting one. Who's ever bought a car because of the operating system? Oh, come on. Operating systems are cool. We do this all the time. We're at a conference about them. Okay. Let's try another one because we're IT geeks. Who's ever bought a car because of the networking technology? Oh, car. No, we got one. We got one. And this is the interesting bit about cars, that we think they're totally unique. And they're not. They're just really, really big mobile phones, mobile devices that offer us things to do when we're bored. In the same way as we could get our smartphone, our Samsung device out of our pocket now, play games. If I'm a passenger in a car, I want to do the same stuff. If I'm in the back of a car, in the same way as I'm in an aircraft, I want to be able to see where I'm going, see where the driver's taking me. All the stuff that we're used to for airplanes, from smartphones, from tablet devices, in cars. It's not that special. Now, you saw this slide, maybe you saw this slide earlier, but we asked customers what they wanted. And we asked 1,200 customers. This is not an insignificant number of people. And they said, we want HD displays. We love the Samsung 3D televisions. I want one in my car. They wanted voice control because Siri had just came out. And everybody said, yeah, Siri's cool. I want that in the car. I want it to be connected because everything's connected. Hell, my fridge is connected. Why can't my car be connected? If I can scan my milk out of the fridge with a barcode reader, why can't I do similar stuff in the car? Why can't my fridge talk to my car and tell me when I need to go and get milk? They want media management. People don't care where their favorite musical track comes from. They just want it to be there. Has anybody bought the Daft Punk album this week? So people have been buying the CD off Amazon. Came out on Tuesday. Not because they wanted that CD. But if you buy the CD, you get the MP3 download free, and they could have it the second it came out. And they'll put the CD in a drawer somewhere and they'll listen to the MP3s or import them to iTunes. And basically, I don't want to have to search the radio stations and my USB stick and my iPod and my CD drive and my online media. If I want to listen to Daft Punk, I want to press Daft Punk and it appears. And this is kind of the expectations, because that's what we're used to at home. But this is my favorite slide. We said, well, okay, what do you want in 2014? And they don't know. They really, really, really don't know. How many apps developers have we got in the room? Have we got a few? A few people with cool, new, innovative concepts? Is it just a clone of something that the customer could describe today, or is it really cool, new, and innovative, completely different? It's probably complete, somewhere in between, okay. But there's evolution. But if we want to get the best apps, generally it's not cloning what we have today. It is going to be new. It is going to grab people's attention. It's not just going to be another copy of Angry Birds or another game that's been around for years. Really interesting one for me. I was looking for images. This is a while back now. I searched for killer apps. Why did Google suggest vector calculus as a related search term? So if anybody's looking for the next killer app, just go and build something with vector calculus in there. Google thinks it's good, and you know Google must be right. Jaguar Land Rover. We're very much focusing on the customer experience. We're focusing on the bits you touch. In the same way as Apple focus on the swipe commands and the making it really easy to use, we're doing the same in a car. But we need to make sure that the underlying services are fully understood, that we can build on them in the future, and we don't have to throw them away every time we develop a new vehicle. A lot of the systems that IVI have implemented in the past, it's very much a case of you deliver a certain amount of feature and that's it. And you throw it away and you deliver a certain amount of feature and that's it. And you do it again and again. And think of the wasted man years in effort that car companies have spent to keep recreating the operating systems, the embedded electronics, the HMI frameworks, the voice engines, and throw it away and do it all again every 3 years. And we've established we all drive cars in one form or another, or partake in occupancy of vehicles. Effectively, we don't want anybody to waste effort repeating an operating system. We very much want them to focus on the features of the future. Does that make sense? And this is really where Jaguar Land Rover got to. We want to have a platform, just like a PC, that you can evolve with time, to add applications, add bits of software to, bring it up to date without having to go back and start again, which is different to automotive is used to. But the interesting one, how do you enable everybody to innovate in vehicles without having to buy the vehicle and without having that proprietary operating system? And we asked some questions on this. Oops, there we go. Well, for one, you can kind of do it today, and you could go to genevi.org projects, and they've got lots of downloadable Git repositories for fixing areas of middleware. So if you're interested in the way different audio components hook together, not on the graphical user interface, not in the user experience, but in the base operating system, you could go and play with Audio Manager. You could download it, you could contribute back, but it's really down there in the code. It's not tangible. You can't use it as an app developer. You could go to AGL. Now, AGL is Automotive Grade Linux, a working group of the Linux Foundation, and they have a really, really interesting mission statement. And specifically, their aim is to produce reference software and hardware. So this is specify some hardware that we could go and buy from Amazon or somewhere else. I like Amazon today, it would appear. And download and install that image and get up and running in 20 minutes. So for all the developers out here who don't really care what platform it's running on, you can, within 20 minutes, go to a website, go and get the image, the VMware image or something else, and be developing. Reskinning, creating. And we'll talk some more about this over the next few slides. So we said, well, we can't just jump straight in. What does the Linux development community want? And what do developers of apps in general want? Well, they want a really low cost of entry, free. You don't want to have to buy the latest Range Rover, much as my pension scheme would love it, every time you want to develop an app. You want something that's an SDK and you can download and use it. You want it to be easily available. Basically, not having to hunt around for the binaries, compiling it all yourselves, learning how to use OBS, installing it. You just want it to work. Developer-friendly. You don't want to be working out how to use near-field communication from a driver level to the operating system all the way up the stack. You want something that you can copy, plagiarize, and add your ideas onto and build on basic use cases as opposed to work out how to do or how to use services from the start. And the biggest thing, if you want to take an idea or a concept to an investor or to a car company or to anybody else, it has to look like something. It can't be white lines scrolling down a black terminal. It has to have a cool-looking user interface to grasp the CEO's attention. Now and again, yes, but it's a lot easier if you go, look, this is how it works, you can see the graphics, here's the user experience. And this platform's really designed for that. Designed to enable people to show their concepts for future IVI control. We did the survey. Anybody know SurveyMonkey? You must have got some of these things. If in doubt, survey it. It's great. We said, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the highest, what value would you place on a download and go offering, i.e. pre-built image for this hardware? 70% almost of people said 8, 9 or 10. And this was sent out to the whole Genevi membership. And 83 people responded, so that's 83 companies. That's pretty cool. We then said some other questions. What elements do you feel would be most important to include in the IVI proof of concept? And again, almost 80% of those people said a downloadable file system, complete software that you can just put on a hard drive. I don't have to use OBS, I don't have to use any making or building or anything. It just runs, it just works, and I can change things. That's kind of interesting. And then we said, okay, what elements of the hardware should be suggested? And people said a range of things. But specifying that main CPU, 88% of people said was important. So that you don't have to go and choose between a TI or all of these different processors, and you just standardize that CPU so it works. Because this isn't product. This is about proof of concept and getting an idea into the marketplace very, very rapidly, and then working out if the user experience works, and then productizing it on that whole range of devices afterwards. And that was kind of enlightening for us. So we looked a bit further, and the one thing that people kept coming back to say was that it needs to be tangible. I need to be able to understand what it does for the customer, how it works, and ultimately how it's going to get my ideas out there. So we started thinking and we started talking to various people in the industry. And we took a 5-6-layer stack model where you've got hardware at the bottom, you've got some drivers, an operating system, some middleware, HMI framework and a GUI. And I know this is an oversimplification, and please don't put your hand up and say, what about Dbus or what about this? Simplification, blue, it's good. And the three areas people were most interested in were the graphics framework. How can I go and change some graphics? How can I take something that is kind of there already and just alter the user experience? The second area was, well, I don't want to buy hardware. I don't want to commercially invest in this. I just want it to work. And people were suggesting VMware images that you could run on your standard PC in Windows or Linux, and it just works. And then finally, for those people that wanted to buy the complete hardware, it was a case of a complete system image. And we did some extra questions as well and said, how much are you willing to pay? How much are you willing to pay for a box that's got the processor, it's got Wi-Fi and Bluetooth and decent graphics cards and multiple graphics outputs and a CAN adapter so you can interface to the vehicle networks and GPS adapter and the Bluetooth and a touchscreen? And the figure said, well, I'm not going to pay more than $1,000. It's about 60% said no more than $1,000. But we noticed that there was the kind of the two camps. There's the people who develop in automotive at the moment. I need a touchscreen, so yeah, I'm willing to buy the CAN adapter and the GPS and all of this stuff. But then there was other people that said, yeah, I want it about $200. Where I don't want to buy the touchscreen yet. I want to see if this works. So I've got a touchscreen that I can use. I just want to plug it in and see where we go. And from that, we figured out that actually Tizen is a really, really good fit. And the Tizen ecosystem is one of its most valuable assets. And specifically, the hardware. And in this case, for the car, the Intel hardware was the most popular. That's because most of us, who's got an Intel laptop in front of them at the moment? Yeah. So that VMware image is just going to work. We've got loads of Dells. Actually, there seems to be a Dell room. And even the Apples, they've all got the Intel processors in there. We then had this hardware that was in a metal box that you could screw into the back of the car. And if any of you have seen the vehicle over the other side, that's got these boxes in at the moment. And it's an endless box running a Celeron. So not i7 processing that you could never put in an actual vehicle and act as the heating element. This is very much, sorry, not too many Intel guys in the room. This is very much something that you could have in a production auto system, similar to the BMWs have today from Harman. But then on the low end of that, we took the next unit of computing, which is this little set-top box from Intel. Has anybody seen those? So it's a box about this size. It's $200. And it runs the same processor, and it has Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. It doesn't have everything else, but doesn't have the serial ports that most people won't need. And that's the base offering for that. Tizen OS, we took Tizen 1 at this point in time, and we're in the process of porting it to 2.1 at the moment. Selection of middleware, Bluesy, Afono, Delana, GStreamer, all the open source components that we know and love. Again, all in the Tizen distributions. And we stacked that with a HTML5 / Java engine. Now, when we did this the first time, we used Node.js, but we're in the process of porting that to the web runtime in Tizen 2.1. And we know that it will translate across. It's just a matter of going through those cycles in the next 4 weeks. And then finally, putting that HTML5 graphical user interface at the top. And actually, we've had 4,000 downloads of the complete system image in 4 weeks. So that just gives you an idea of how many people want to play with this, which is good. But out of those 4,000, over 3,000 have only touched the graphical user interface and a little bit of the JavaScript at the top. And that's a really powerful message, that most of these people don't care about playing with Afono or Bluesy. It's just, how can I take existing services that I can get to through the API and build feature on it? Which is very much akin to the app market in reality. Out of the app developers, who's ever worried about the Bluetooth stack? You don't want to. You just want to use an API and get on with it. And it's exactly the same for automotive. So this platform's running in the vehicle, as I said before, Tizen 1.0 with Node.js, HTML5-based application environment, and you can push and pull applications. We've given away all the server code as well, and we've given away all of the documentation. We've even given away the PSD files for those graphics to make it really, really easy to alter it and to leave the rest of the platform intact. So if you had a cool idea for a game, you can take one of these segments that you can see. Doesn't work, but you can see the segments that we've got on the graphical user interface. You can take one of those and put your game underneath it. But the rest of the IVI system looks the same. And you don't have to recreate the graphics, you just use the Photoshop files. It's pretty cool. And to really test this before we put it out into the wild, we worked with the Linux Foundation and Automotive Grade Linux. We worked with Fourier Labs and Symbio and Symphony Telica. And we said, well, how can we make this work? How can we do something that you would need on a car? And we chose the HVAC, the heating and ventilation system. And we said, well, we've ripped out the HVAC system from the car that you've seen there on our one-off proof of concept. How quickly can we stitch this to CAN messaging and control the HVAC system using graphics? And the answer was about 2.5 weeks. Well, that's pretty good compared with the 3-year timescales automotive was used to. Not a product, but still really, really powerful. We built out the media player as well. We put GStreamer on using the HTML5 playback commands, just straight HTML5. We used Automotive Message Broker to interface to CAN. We rebuilt the kernel with the CAN drivers in. And you can download this today. It doesn't have the HVAC graphics in the mainline build yet, but it will do in the next few weeks. It took a couple of weeks. And this wasn't teams of people. This was 3 people. For about 2.5 weeks working on it part-time. And that's really where we wanted to get to. We want to make it really easy for people to use vehicle signals and do cool stuff with it. Progress we've made, it's all there. You can go to that web address now, automotive.linuxfoundation.org, AGL demonstrator, or if you just search for AGL demonstrator on Google, you can download the image, the VMware image, all of the graphics, everything. There's notes on the wiki of how to control it, and you can start building on it. I wouldn't try and download the 4 gig image here, because if anybody's noticed, the Wi-Fi is not the greatest at these conferences, but you know, when you get home and you've got a decent connection, you can do that. Even more, 15th of April, we set a competition, and it was the AGL, Automotive Grade Linux User Experience Contest. And we gave people from the 15th of April, where I was in San Francisco announcing this, until last Friday, the opportunity to build interesting user experiences, cool graphics, or add new features to the platform. And we've had entries to this competition, and I'm going over to the Automotive Linux Summit now in Japan, and we've got prizes, we've got press judging that, we've got user experiences tested in vehicles, and we've had some really good entries. Does anybody know Ford Smart Device Link? It used to be known as AppLink. So we had that integrated. Do you know how long it took to integrate AppLink? It took about a tenth of my time and one engineer at Ford in Germany less than a week. to integrate AppLink, including the graphics. And actually, there's a YouTube video available now. We're not publicizing it. It's had about 200 views, and God knows how people find it. But it's really, really quick to add to, because it's got all of those services that you'd expect and you're used to from Tizen today. But we've done this. It's kind of cool. We can't stop. We've got to keep it going. And in order to do that, we've got a roadmap. And you saw this earlier. It has to be done in the open. There's no point in Jaguar Land Rover or anybody else saying, we're going to do this, and we're going to go away from 18 months, and then we'll drop it on the market. Or we can't fork a component now, hide it away, and then try and get it back and try and upstream it later, because it just doesn't work. You have to do this in the open from the start. You have to keep it easy. There's no point in coming up with a really cool demo and saying, look, world, you can have this, and there's no comments in the code, there's no wiki support, there's no help on how to rebuild it, there's no SDK, there's nothing. And we see it all the time, and our engineers struggle with this, so there's no way we're going to do that for other people. And most importantly, we have to keep adding the feature that people want. How can we add the services that you actually want and need to develop the next application? And importantly, how do we know what those are? Well, it's communication. It's people sending us emails, using the mailing lists, saying, it would be really cool if you could add this to the Bluetooth, or give support to the graphical user interface for this Bluetooth profile. And it's that sort of work that we're doing at the moment. And specifically, our next steps, migrate the platform to Tizen Web Runtime in 2.1, and utilize Wayland graphics, because we get really, really big improvements on our graphics performance with Wayland. We then got to fill the gaps when it comes to a really basic IVI system so that we can build new stuff on in the future. How can I integrate Navit as the free open source navigation engine with OpenStreetMaps underneath? How can I integrate a Bluesy and a Phono and give you a hands-free profile and the ability to download the phone book and to use SMSs from the platform? All of this basic stuff, but for the first time done from a system level, from the bottom of the drivers right the way to the top of the graphical user interface in the open. How can I integrate Pulse Audio, GStreamer, Delaner, and Light Media Scanner so that you can plug in a memory stick, it indexes your files, tells you if they're audio, video, enables you to use those on remote devices with DLNA and universal plug and play, as well as just playing them in GStreamer. All open source components. And if somebody else has done this before, please point me at them so that we don't have to repeat this work. But we can't find it, and we've been looking hard. Nobody else has ever done that from the bottom to the top of the stack, and that's the bit that will really give us the acceleration in our development, because this is open. Integrate Smart Device Link and open that to the world. Put some cool graphics on it, because you know Ford, we've got to have cool graphics. We've got some blue there, so we're good with the colors, but we'll get there. How can we improve the car interfaces? Apps developers seem to want to use every possible signal that they can get. Is that about right? You want access to the accelerometer and the digital compass and all of this. If you were developing for a car, do you want access to speed, the revs, the gear you're in, the steering angle sensors, the height of each of your bits of suspension, the weights of each person due to the seatbelt monitors, whether it's raining, whether it's dry, access to the 8 outward cameras or the 4 inward cameras? All of this feature is available, and it's shooting around these cars on the networks. We just need to abstract that. So that if you want steering angle sensor on a Toyota or steering angle sensor on a Jaguar, it's the same API, and you don't need to alter your application. It's completely abstracted. And that's what we're working with Kevron on Automotive Message Broker at the moment. Web API for it as well. Most of you don't care what the CAN message is. It's just a matter of being able to get access to that from HTML. We got loads of time for questions, but the biggest thing that I can encourage you to do is go and press buttons in the car and go and break it and go and try and hack it and download it and add to it and say, oh, it doesn't do what I need. But ultimately, how can you get that into the platform? Who deals in open source today? Who's ever contributed to an open source project? Yeah? And we're in the same boat. How many people have you seen who just moan about open source modules and go, oh, it doesn't do what I want it to? Majority. And how many people, I'm not going to use this because it doesn't do what I want. Yeah. And how do you fix that? Well, one, you tell the maintainer what you want and why you want it. You talk to them and share the use cases and say, if I had this, then I would be able to do that. And if I'm the maintainer, I go, hey, that's really cool. How can I help you get that into it? Or you contribute the code. But you don't, as we said before, wait a year and then go and try and upstream it, which we see all the time as well. Don't do it all in the closed. Wait till you've got it in a product and your GPL license says you shall release it at this point. Because that's not the point of open source. But the other bit of the community is work out early where your IP is and protect it, because we want everybody in the community to make money out of this, otherwise we're not going to be here in 10 years' time. Protect your IP and open the bits that you don't need. Code can be a liability if it's not specifically supporting your business. So luckily we've got loads of time for questions now, but that's where we've come from, that's what we're doing. We've given out 10 million lines of code this year now, which isn't bad for a car company. We're working out how to do it, and we've done that now, and now we're going to keep adding to it. And we're working with about a dozen different companies to keep adding to this platform. And if any of you guys in the audience want to suggest, it would be cool if it did this, but I'm not the person to help, you know, we can make that happen. Or similarly, if you want to get involved in collaboration, let me know. That's cool. We've got time for questions. Does anybody have any? Go for it. Hi, Ty. So the question here is basically, there's lots of web runtimes available on the market at the moment. You mentioned Ubuntu, we've got Firefox, and now we've got the Tizen web runtime. Ultimately, I only need one. And for the proof of concept platform, I need one that people are going to effectively congregate around. The Ubuntu one's good, but it hasn't got much adoption in IVI, and it doesn't have the hardware acceleration that potentially that we've talked to are looking for. Similarly with the Firefox one, it spans lots and lots of platforms. But because of that, it doesn't have the HTML5 resolution that we potentially need. Then you've got the proprietary systems like this. There's a fantastic one from Access and others that are available on the market. But again, if this is a downloadable proof of concept, I can't give you the rights to use it. So it's kind of defeating the object. But in all of our different searches, we found the Tizen one that we're using on this specific platform to show the most promise and the most overlap between what you're doing in the mobile space, what's happening in Tizen PC, what's happening in the tablet version, and what's happening on the IVI version. And it's that linkage between all of those different markets with the same runtime that the people we're working with on collaborations like the best. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question, Ty? Yeah. But the important one is that you don't need the NDAs to share it. It's a case of it's out there. Yeah, go for it. Okay, so the question is, does the IVI box that we've got discover other IVI boxes around it and talk to those boxes? Now, the answer is the open source platform that we've got in that car today that you can go and download does not. It does, however, have Wi-Fi and it does have Bluetooth, and each of those have the ability to discover the different networks, to set up their own access points or appear on show themselves on the Bluetooth networks. And once you've got that, it's very easy to set up an ad hoc network via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi and add to that. So if you wanted to do car-to-car communication, there's nothing to stop you. If we can do PC-to-PC communication, that's no different to car-to-car communication. It's just a little bit longer down the road and we're going to have some technical challenges. But from a proof of concept, it's Linux. It has some of the best network stacks on the planet. Yeah. Does that answer the question? Great. Have we got any other questions at all? Oh, this is good. Anything from? Nope. Oh, we've got one. Hi.
So the term IVI is kind of limiting in terms of the other things we're expecting that these cars will do. And I understood Genevieve was moving it towards a new term called connected car.
Okay. So Genevieve specifically is not moving to connected car. Infotainment, in its original sense, was all of the systems on a vehicle that provide information to the driver, from the cluster, from the head-up display, from anywhere, and all of the entertainment sources. Now, lately we've heard this term connected car, and that's kind of a superset and also a subset of IVI, in that there's certain bits that you would want to connect that don't present any information or don't use the entertainment systems. An example would be firmware over the air update to an engine management unit. You just expect it to happen. You're not informed that it's happened. It just kind of gets on with it. But there's elements of connected car that we'd want. So if you downloaded an app, or if you connected to an IP radio station, that's an entertainment source. So if you drew the Venn diagram, you've kind of got IVI at the top, connected car at the bottom, and this gap in the middle. Now, the interesting one about connected car, again, car is special. No. There's the onboard infrastructure for the connected car, which is what we actually put on the platforms in the different modules in the vehicle. And then you've got the offboard infrastructure, which is how it connects to the back-end servers, even the pipelines to the internet using all of the different telecoms operators across the planet. That's all termed connected car.
And also the car-to-car communication.
Car-to-car communication is really... Connected cars, anything outside the car connecting to. And this is something that we suffer from within Genevia and elsewhere, that people always say, oh, is the data stored in the cloud? Maybe, but actually the data is stored somewhere off the car that you don't care about. And that data could be on your mobile device, it could be on the cloud, it could be on a carrier pigeon shoved in the trunk of the car. It's basically on the car or off the car. And the idea of cloud, it's really cool and we hear it lots. But as the car driving public, we don't care as long as the data's there. Does that make sense? Does that talk around and answer some of the question? So Genevia is looking at some of the elements of connected car, but connected car is this massive field that's getting wider by the day.
So that's a superset of the IVI.
Some IVI features aren't within connected car. If you can draw the Venn diagram. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Oh, we got another one. Okay. Yep.
So are those complementary, or is that also a Venn diagram?
Okay. So the question was, AGL, Automotive Grade Linux and Linux Foundation, and Genevia, are they complementary? Do they overlap? Genevia is looking at specific hardened chunks of middleware for development and use on an IVI system, and specifically for an IVI product. Whereas and importantly, because it's a paid-for alliance with all these companies, it specifically excludes all of the innovation, all of the graphical framework, all of the graphics. Whereas AGL, it's a free project, there's no fees applicable, it's through the foundation. And that covers everywhere in the stack. From the very start of it, it said, we're just going to use Tizen as the reference for this, just because it made sense. That's got the IVI distribution. People are using it. There's an apps framework around it. And Genevia is very much IVI, whereas AGL is looking at all of the different Linux modules or anything that could take Linux in a vehicle later. So there's not huge amounts of overlap between the two. If you go to AGL and download that proof of concept that we showed earlier, that's actually Genevia compliant, which is kind of cool. And oh, yeah.
So Genevia's kind of like a setting standard, certain type of underlying standards, which AGL projects
may or may not use. Yeah. And if you think about vehicles as well, I don't know how many, have we got anybody else from an automotive OEM in the market? No. So there's nobody in the room. But you don't have to have a Genevia compliant product. If we look at the Cadillac Q system from GM at the moment, that's based on Linux, but it's not the latest compliance statement of Genevia. But if everybody does move to a Genevia-compliant platform, it does make that portability a lot easier. And that's really where Jaguar Land Rover, we're so involved with Genevia. So we believe that portability across the platforms is critically important. Okay. So any other questions? Ty?
You said nobody's going to buy a car because of the US, but how about smartphone connectivity? Do you foresee a future, especially between the young people, that they may choose a car based on, does it work with my Android phone? Does it support
Yeah. I think that's today.
Already?
Yeah. I think people would, if we look at the sales of the Ford Sync system, and if you've used Ford Sync, it's not the greatest, it's really good, and it's good for its time, but Ford was selling cars based on the technology. And who'd consider buying a car without a USB socket today? And you kind of expect the iPhone integration. If I went to a showroom and they didn't have the iPhone integration, not the operating system, this is the, can I plug my iPhone 4S in and my iPhone 5? You just expect it to be there. And if it's not there, to be honest, they're not going to sell that car. And that's now, and that's not Jaguar Land Rover, that's everything. We're part of the Tata Group, We don't actually do anything with Tata Motors. We're completely separate. But Tata Motors, they asked their customers what they wanted in cars. And actually, the customers for a $2,500 Tata Nano, it's very, very similar in what they demand of their car on in with regard to the USB integration and the hands-free kit for the phone, and. It's almost a case of it doesn't matter how much the price point of your car is. You expect it to work with your iPhone. You expect it to work with your Android device. You expect it to do this radio system. If it's a $100,000 car or a $2,500 car. In the same way as you could be a billionaire or a college student and you're going to have a smartphone. And chances are you're not going to be able to live without it. The same thing. I think we've got time for one more question. It can be really bad, but we don't have to ask it. No? Well, with that, thank you so much for listening. If anybody else has got any questions afterwards, come and grab me. I'm going to be around for about 5 or 6 minutes, which is good for me. And thank you again. Thank you.